So I was wondering how I had a church hymnal, two of them this morning, and I realized instead of grabbing the worship book and my Bible, I grabbed the worship book and the hymnal. All right. So this is Matthew chapter 24. And actually, I apologize. I said, that's supposed to be Matthew 25. I misstyped that. So I lied to you. Matthew 25. Okay. Hear now these words beginning with verse 1. Matthew 25 beginning with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels to their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye all to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when in the Son of Man cometh. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So this morning's scripture was actually picked out by Clint for Boy Scout Sunday here. Now, keeping with this theme about being prepared. Being prepared. And in Matthew 25, we see three different stories Jesus tells about being prepared. And I read this one because it goes along with the theme of having these lamps. So a little while ago, had Clint and Josh had the lamps. Now imagine that they had their lamps and they went out to the woods camping. And then one looked at the other and said, where's the oil? I thought you had it. I thought you had it. What good is a lamp if it doesn't have any oil on the inside of it? It's useless, isn't it? And so what happened in this story is that you had a bridal party. And so you had these 10 young ladies, and their job was to meet and greet the groom, his bride, and they came in for the celebration. And you had 5 smart ones and 5 who weren't so smart. And the 5 who were smart had oil in their lamps ready to go. Their 5 didn't. And then they waited and waited and waited, and the sun went down, and they waited and waited. And then at midnight, there was a cry. Hey, the groom is coming for the wedding celebration. And so immediately, the 5 smart ones light up their lamps. They're ready to go. The 5 foolish ones, however, don't have any oil in their lamps. And so they do what a lot of folks do. Hey, you got some oil I can borrow? No. Kind of like when you're at school. Got Mr. Wong, you got a dollar I can have? Nope, nope, and nope. And the 5 wise ones says, well, we can't give you our oil because then we won't have any. Then we'll all be in the dark. No. You need to go down to the store and get you some oil, okay? And so they go down to the store and get some oil. Well, by the time they get back, the celebration of the wedding has already begun. So they're outside the door knocking. So, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the groom says, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, if that sounds familiar, you may recall how in the Sermon on the Mount, way back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus told a story about Judgment Day, how folks would come to him and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? Didn't I do this?" And he'd say, "Very, verily, go away, I knew you not." Now here were servants knocking on the door trying to get into the wedding. But the groom said, "I don't know you." They weren't prepared. And verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You see, as Christians, we're supposed to live in an expectation of the coming of Christ. A little while ago, Miss Macy gave up and led us in our creed. And we're talking about how we believe in that Jesus, he was crucified, suffering from Pontius Pilate, buried, on the third day rose again, ascended to heaven, and that he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. And that can happen at any moment. We've had folks in the past who claimed they knew when this would happen. Way back around the year 1000 A.D., you had Christians inside churches praying at midnight, thinking that Jesus would come back then. And then during the time of Martin Luther, he had a friend who was a little off the rails, and he was talking about how Jesus would come back and such. And Luther didn't quite believe that. And then I remember as a kid, my uncle, he had a book called 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. And then I remember Y2K. Remember that? Everybody's talking about the computer's going to crash, and Jesus is going to come back, and Antichrist is going to take over, and da-da-da, and none of that happened. Most of us outside joined the fireworks, and then some of our neighbors inside the basement with their ice cream and shotgun. Remember that? Then I remember a few years later, it was either the Mayan calendar in the year 2012, December 24th. The world's going in December 24th, 2012. And the sad part was there was Christian leaders jumping on that bandwagon saying that because Jesus was born December 25th, he'll come back on December 24th. That'd be the end of the world. Well, here we are, 9 years later, he still hasn't come back. And every so many years, somebody comes along saying, "I figured it out. He's coming back on this date." And every time it happens, they're always wrong. And I was like, "Well, what did Jesus say about that? For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And in another location in the Gospels, Jesus talks about how neither the angels of heaven or even himself knew when he was coming back. That's part of his deliberately not using all his powers. That's only known to my Heavenly Father. So anytime somebody tells you, "I know he's coming back on this day or this year," you need to mark that off your calendar. He's not coming back that date because no one knows his coming. Now, what about us? What are we doing in the meantime? Well, in the meantime, we need to be busy working for Jesus. There's a song out of the Red Hymnal about how we'll work till Jesus comes. We don't hear that very often nowadays in churches because we don't want to talk about working. But look at some of these other stories Jesus tells. After this one, he talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a man going to a far country, called his servants. He gave one 5 talents, and gave another 2 talents. Every man according to his ability went on his journey. And talked about how one guy had 5 talents and made another 5 with it. One got 2, made 2. And then one rascal, he had 1 and buried it in the ground. His talent. Yeah. He's talking about money, but really, it's a play on words. He's talking about our gifts, our abilities, and talents. What have you been doing with God's talents he's given you, your skills and your knowledge? Somebody says, "Well, I don't have any skills, talents, so I'm just good, working on cars." Well, honey, don't you think there's somebody out here to be blessed with you working their car? A single mom, perhaps? Well, someone says, well, I don't have any talents. I'm just book smart. Well, don't you think someone might need some tutoring, some help out? Well, I don't have any talents. I'm just a good listener. And I'm like, well, don't you think somebody might need someone to pour their heart out to? I don't care who you are. You got some talents inside your system somewhere. The question is, what are you doing with it? And so when the master comes back after a long time, asks what's going on, one guy says, well, Lord, you know, you gave me 5 talents. I made 5 more. The master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Third guy shows up, hey, boss, you gave me 2. And from that 2, I made 2. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Into the joy of the Lord. Well, so far, so good. And then we get the second guy. Was he prepared for this day of accounting? He said, well, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, and you reap where you hadn't sown, and gather where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. So I hid your talent in the earth, and here it is. He buried it. How many people on our side of the day are burying their talents? You got gifts in the buildings, and instead of using it for the Lord, you're bearing it. You're not using them. Is that how you're going to prepare for the coming of Jesus? By looking back on your life and saying, I had all these gifts and buildings you gave me, and I didn't do anything with them. I just buried it, wasted an opportunity. And what did he say? The master said, thou wicked and lazy servant, thou knewest I reap where I soweth not, and gather where I have not strawed. And he says, you know, at the very least, you could put my money in the bank where it could draw some interest. And so he says, take that talent from that man and give them to another. Yeah. There's a day of judgment. And this man wasn't prepared for it. The day of opening the books, the master gave him these gifts, talents, and he wasted them. And then there's also to be prepared as, what about opportunities? And Jesus ends this chapter by saying, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, they shall sit with him upon the throne of glory. And for him will be gathered all the nations. He shall separate them from one another, as shepherd divide his sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on the right hand and goats on the left. A little while ago, Cadence led us in a psalm. And what did that psalm say? The wicked are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so he's separating the wicked from the righteous. And to the sheep he says on the right hand, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. And then the righteous said, now hold on, Lord, we didn't do any of that, you know. We never saw you out on the street homeless or hungry or out clothing and such. No. And the king shall answer them and said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. How do we as Christians prepare for the coming of Jesus, the king? Now, you walked in this morning to your left, there was a food box there gathering groceries. What were you doing? For I was hungry and you gave me food. You open up your hearts to someone you don't know who they are, make sure they go hungry. And on Judgment Day, the Lord will look at you and say, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. And you'd be like, the Lord Jesus, when I feed you? You never came by my house, had supper. He said, don't you remember that time at Mars Hill and you came in the door and you put some groceries in that box? When you helped feed the least of these, my brethren, you did also unto me. Or think about when there's like a clothing drive somewhere and you can buy a nice jacket or some warm socks in there. You have a loved one that's sick and you go by the house and visit and check on them or call them, talk to them. Or maybe during the COVID mess, all you can do is send them a card, but you didn't know you were thinking about them. Or maybe someone you know got locked up in the jailhouse and made some bad decisions. And you visit them and encourage them and say, no, this is a chance to turn things around. Now, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you did also to me. And then the other crew, he tells them, depart from me, ye curse, and to your everlasting fire prepare for the devil and his angels. And he talks about all these times they did not do this to him. And they said, hold on, Lord, when did we do that? We never did that to you. And Jesus said, whatever you did to the least of my brothers and sisters is what you did to me. Every time you were rude to the cashier, you were doing it to me. Any time that you didn't leave a tip for that poor waitress, you were doing it to me. That time you saw that poor lady and broke down the side of the street, you need to take time and pull over and check on her. You do that to me. In the face of every person we meet, we have an opportunity to show the love of Christ. And on Judgment Day, we have given account for that. So what about us? In that first story, are we going to be like the five young ladies whose light is shining brightly in the dark world? Or are we going to be like the other five who didn't have any oil in their lamp, who weren't shining in the dark, who was in the darkness, unprepared? Or in the second story, are we going to be like the first two servants who God gave abilities and talents and we used them and invested in them to further his kingdom? Or are we going to be like that other rascal who just buried in the backyard somewhere and say, well, Lord, you know, I knew you were a tough man, so I just put in the backyard. I was scared to do anything with it and wasted those talents. Are we going to be like the sheep who was loving their neighbor and themselves, looking out for those who are least, last, and lost, showing them the love of Christ? Or are we going to be like the goats who passed by those opportunities to do that and did not show the love of Christ to their neighbor? Are we going to be prepared for Judgment Day? Or are we going to be unprepared? No. No, and each of us have to answer that question for ourselves. How is it going to be on Judgment Day? Your number one goal in life should be that on Judgment Day you hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It may be the Lord bless you a lot. It may be he blessed you a little. Regardless, though, you took what he gave you and you were a blessing to others, serve his kingdom. You want the Lord to say, you are a light that shines in the world, giving me glory. You took my talents I gave you and gave them my glory. You showed compassion and care for the least, last, and lost. What you did to them, you were doing to me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. My prayer is that we will all be prepared on Judgment Day to give account of our lives and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thanks be to God. Amen.